A very common question, are we all can preach or should we all speak the word of God? How about for those who never make a lecture or do not have the talent of lecturing or preaching? Definitely, being an evangelist is not necessarily being a preacher or a teacher. All Christians are called to be people of God, to show God in their life and their love, but they are not called to be teacher or preacher. So I want to tell you in like 20 minutes, they make it like six styles of evangelism according to the characters. The first one, what we call the direct style. When you study the Bible, you can see that there are big differences in the apostles themselves. Not all of them Peter, not all of them Paul, but all of them are disciples, all of them men of God, all of them became saints. Saint Mark was not known a strong preacher, but Saint Mark, he was the one who preached our land, and we, you know, we feel how grateful we are to this great man. And I don't think Saint Mark was a great preacher. We did not listen to him as a lecturer or preacher. But the Gospel of St. Mark is well known that the first Gospel, the first book written in the New Testament. So you need not to be Peter or Paul, but you need to be a good Christian. You need to be the man of God. You need to be the son of God. You need to shine with the light of God. So the first character is the direct style of evangelism, which is well shown in the book of Acts chapter 2 or chapter like 8 for Philip or chapter 7 for Stephen. The direct sermon, the direct lecturing, preaching way. So it's just one of six, because some of those who traveled with me or just alone in Africa and Asia, they expected that people will sit down like this and they will deliver the message. That's not, the usual way. In most of the cases, you will not find people listening to you this way, because you are here like disciples. You are happy to listen to the word of God. But in most of the cases, people are not ready even to listen. They are not into the subject. So there are different styles. For this style, the direct one, it's needed. By the way, it's needed. You know, St. Paul himself said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. So this is the direct way. Maybe this is the role of priests, the role of bishop, the role of teachers in the church, but it will not be the role of everyone. But you have to be also faithful doing this. You have to deliver the sound doctrine as mentioned by St. Paul in the same letter. So this is the first style. But you know the traits of this character. This man, this servant, usually have kind of self-confidence, because to speak out loud before the eyes of some people, especially if they are not believing in Christ, it's not easy. It needs kind of self-confidence. It needs to be bold. It needs to be assertive, because people were listening, and maybe this is the first and last chance for them to know Christ. Also, in this preaching way, direct way, you should skip small talks and get right to the point. Because some preachers may go outside the core of the content. We need to be direct, because some people need a brief of the whole story. So these are some of the traits related to the direct way. Also, this man, this servant, had a strong opinion and convictions. He should be convincing one. He should have the power to, reason for his faith. And it's very important nowadays to reason for your faith. It's not only just telling people you need to believe. You have to reason because people respect logic, people respect science. Why don't you speak in a respectful way? Why don't you respect their mind, their logic and science? Because our faith is much more reasonable than any other faith. And believe me, we can study this. There's a very nice book I recommend for you to read, written by an American author. It's a very strange name. The name of the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. This is the name of the book. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. As if he's telling everyone, to be an atheist, you need to ignore your mind. You need not to be any logic. You need just to believe something which is not logic for atheists. So he's written for the atheist people, you the people who accuse Christians of just believing, not reasoning, you actually believe more than reasoning anything. And I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. That's the book, it's a big one. So he needs to be, you know, powerful in convictions. Also for this style of evangelist, be sure to seek God's wisdom so you will be appropriately sensitive and tactful. Because for these confident people, they may depend or rely upon their character, their knowledge, which will take them away from the grace of God. They need to stick to praying because it's always related to the power of God, not the logic, not the character itself. Again, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to restrain your desire to come on strong. Because when you push it more than needed, when you push it with the wisdom of the Word, not the wisdom coming from above, people will stay away, will fly away. But when you just following the powerful Holy Spirit guidance, you can convince people and they will follow you. Again, you need to avoid judging or laying guilt trips on others who approach evangelism with a different style. Because some of those lecturers, some of those who like to speak, like my weak self, but actually they should respect other styles of evangelism because they cannot bring people to the church. They need somebody who is ready to listen, and this is not always the chance. That's why when you go to the book of Acts, you cannot see like hundreds of sermons. It's like maybe less than 10 sermons. But in the 28 chapters, there are lots of evangelistic events and powerful meetings, but it was not like lecturing or preaching directly. The second style is the intellectual one. And this is, you may find in the book of Acts, chapter 17. If you remember the contents of the book of Acts, chapter 17 is part of the second trip of St. Paul, and he spent most of it in Greece. And in Athens especially, he needs to be very high in logic. The first one is the direct way. I'm preaching you now. So this is the direct way. But if I'm speaking with atheists, I need to refer to scientists. I need to refer to logic people. I need to refer to philosophers. I cannot refer to prophets. You got me? When I speak to Jew people or Christian people like you, I have to refer to the Bible. But when I speak to non-believers, I cannot refer to the Bible. They will not respect me because the Bible for them is not accepted. So the intellectual style, you have to, you know, understand the people listening to you. Maybe he is just one. But the one you are talking to, you have to understand his character. He's highly intellectual, so he needs this logic and scientific words. And it was written in the Gospel, in the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the second one, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So this kind of intellectual fight, because the devil you know, likes to deliver knowledge which is full of lies, but in a very attractive way. So people, you know, admire what others saying, but what they say is rubbish actually. What they say is full of lies. So you need to cast down arguments. You need to conquer this logic by a higher logic, very reasonable talk, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. For this style, the traits of the servant, he is more like analytical personality. He analyzed the question. He analyzed the character of the guy speaking to. He is just a man of 1, 2, 3. Because this will help him to convince others. He's very logic and inquisitive. He likes to debate. He's happy debating for many hours. Some other people cannot stand for a few minutes. But for this man, his character likes debating. Also, he is more concerned with what people think than how they feel. These intellectual style people, you know, they only focus on the mind, not the heart. They see the thoughts, the idea, the contents, but they cannot touch the feeling. So they are not suitable for the emotional people. They will not affect them. They will affect more those who are busy thinking. But we have to be cautious with this style. Avoid getting stuck in academic points, because some of these debaters or apologists or the busy ones with the philosophies, you know, they deviate into academic arguments, not necessarily. Hair-splitting points of evidence. These are mainly to clear the path back to the central gospel message. You need not to conquer, to overcome, to win the argument. You need to win the person. So if you focus much on winning the argument, you lose the guy. But being an evangelist, you need to win him as a man, not win the argument. So you don't get out happy because he couldn't conquer me. He couldn't stand before me. Yes, but he hated you. He went with bad feelings after this meeting. It was better like when he loves you, he will meet you again and again, and then you can guide him to know God more. Also be cautious. That remember that attitude is as important as information. That's why Peter said with gentleness. So the attitude of delivering the message. Be nice. Be humble. Be gentle. Not speaking like a professor. We don't have professors in evangelism. We need not to be highly intellectual professors to evangelize people. We need to be saints. We need to be people of God. So when you speak, using the logic, you need to be gentle and humble. The third style of evangelists, what they call testimonial style. Testimonial style is far away from the last one, because this is simply related to the people who felt God in their life, who had some experience, some story to tell you. And that was very clear in the story of the born blind. The born blind had nothing to do with philosophy. He cannot give any lecture. He neither a good one in the direct style or the intellectual style. But he was a great witness to the Lord. Simply because he told them his story with very much confidence. He was telling everyone, I was born blind and this man healed me. He created new eyes. He cannot be just a prophet. We had never seen a prophet done this. He is much more than a prophet. So with his simple words, being very much, unscientific, but he affected many people. So that's exactly what John said in his letter. which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. So He's speaking about, you know, the fellowship, the experience. The real, honest, humble experience he had with the Lord. And this touches many hearts. Again, the traits of this servant, to be an evangelist with this testimonial attitude, you need to be good in communication. Because if you are not good in communicating the message, even if you tell the story, people are not happy listening, because you cannot tell them a good story. And when you speak about your experience, people may, you know, look up to you happily, or may just feel bored and they cannot listen anymore. So you need this communication. You need to be a good listener, by the way, because it's more or less man-to-man relationship. You are not going to speak all the time. You need to listen to the suffering of the people. And it comes a minute that you tell them, by the way, in my experience, when I suffered the same, I could pray. I enjoyed the gift of God of comfort. Because I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, I felt it. So I'm inviting you just to pray. And when you pray, you will feel this comfort, because I believe in Christ, God of comfort. So when you speak this way, according to your experience, many people will be touched. Also, this one should be vulnerable about the personal life ups and downs, because you are not speaking like a saint who are doing miracles. No, you are speaking about your weaknesses, failures, loneliness, negative experiences. But in all of this, you had seen God. You touched Him. So in this way, you speak, you know, accepted experience. Also, this man is overwhelmed by the account of how God reached him. And also for you, you see the links between your experience and that of other people. You should identify the needs of the one you are speaking to deliver the exact needed message. We have to be cautious in this. Be sure to relate your experience to the life of your friend. You need to first listen to them to be able to connect your story to their situation. So not all stories are, you know, suitable for all people. You need to choose which story to give for which one. Also, do not downplay the value of your story because it seems too ordinary. Ordinary stories relate to ordinary people. That's a very good sentence. I think we need to hear it. Ordinary stories relate to ordinary people. We are not telling miracles. We will not speaking like a superman. No, we are telling ordinary stories because it will cover the needs of the majority of the people, because they are living the same life. So when you speak about your relationship with your wife, with your kids, in your problems in your work, your relationships with your relatives, and your suffering from some disease, so you are speaking in a very down-to-earth way, so people will accept it easier, will feel like you are touching their needs, because you are not flying away. The fourth style is the interpersonal style. The interpersonal is not the direct, I'm revising, not the direct style, not the intellectual style, not the testimonial style, but it is more like making relationships. And it's like the story given yesterday of Luke 5, chapter 5 in Luke. When Christ, you know, was invited by Matthew to his house, the Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. There were a great number of tax collectors
others who sat down with them. Look to this. Matthew in this story did not preach, did not give sermon, did not even speak about his personal experience. He was not highly intellectual, talking logic. He simply invited his friends, and within this meeting, this supper time, people touched Christ. So, being very successful in relationships, he could affect many people of his field. Maybe it's related to what St. Paul said before, to the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So you're always looking for the common ground in order to help others to come closer to what you say, to identify their problems with your way, so you are helping them to know Christ the way you knew it, you knew him. The traits of this style, he is a successful relational man. He is warm in his relations. He can easily guide or lead any conversation. He is such a compassionate servant. He is a good friend. He is good in friendship. He cares. He focuses on people and their needs. So, such a warm guy, he is not, again, the direct one or the intellectual one or the testimonial, but he is such a warm, sociable man. And by this talent of being into people, into relations, he can help many people to know Christ. Again, when we like showing you the styles of evangelists, you should, you know, see yourself in one of these six. Because we are not the same, but we are all called to be fishers of men. We have to be cautious with this sociable one or warm servant. Beware of valuing friendship over truth. Because being very warm and emotional, you may value the friendship, the relation, more than the truth. Telling people there are sinners in need of a savior will test relationship. It comes a minute that you should guide the guy, even if you want to keep the relationship, but you have to tell him the truth. Do not get so involved in the process of building friendship that you forget the ultimate goal, bringing people to know Christ as the forgiver and leader. So, yes, you are into relations, but do not forget yourself. You are not just enjoying the relationships, but you are pushing people, guiding them to know Christ. Beware also, don't get overwhelmed with the amount of needs your friends might have. Do what you can and leave the rest to God. Don't promise much. Don't overdo it. Just be yourself and guide them to pray, guide them to know Christ. Christ will cover the needs, not yourself. The fifth, they are all six, huh? The fifth style is the invitational style. Kind of revision, you know, the first one was the direct style lecturing. The second one was intellectual for the atheist people. The third one was the testimonial, telling story. And the fourth was the interpersonal. The fifth is the invitational. The invitational, I can see the Samaritan woman is the best example. The Samaritan had nothing to do with intellectual functioning or the lecturing problems or the social activities. She is such a simple woman, lived her life in sin, but she is very good in inviting people. She could move the whole country, the whole city. So her role as evangelist is kind of invitation.
She was very much successful in inviting people. One day, one servant came to me and told me, I wish to speak like you and other priests. I told him, by the way, I wish to be like you because you are very much successful in bringing people to the church. And he's really so. So sometimes you want to be different from your style, but actually you are doing a great job in your way. So for those who can succeed in inviting people, the church need these people, need this character of invitational character style. It was mentioned in the parable given by the Lord, and the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So these will not tell anyone any lecture. They will not, you know, argue about truth and lies, but they will invite people. The traits of this style, he should be very much hospitable, persuasive. He enjoys meeting new people. He is such a passionate, enthusiastic man, and also opportunistic. Because being invitational, you should make use of any opportunity to give a flyer, to give the Bible, to direct one to some site on the net, to speak about God, to help him come to the church. So make use of any opportunity available. Be cautious, then do not let others do all the talking for you. Your friends and acquaintance need to hear how Christ influenced your life. And also, he is patient, he is concerned about the others. He sees needs and finds joy in meeting them. He shows love through action more than words. And he attached value to even mental tasks. So this one is very much important for the church. He should be careful and prayful, because we should consider events or church services you take people to, look for the ones that are spiritual speakers. Because, you know, one day I invited one of my colleagues in the university to some youth meeting. And this friend was not into a man of the church, so he never listened to any sermon. So when he came with me to the youth meeting, on that day, more than 35 years ago, the sermon was about the rituals of the Old Testament. So I felt so sorry for him, because this lecture was not suitable for such a newcomer. So it was my mistake that I invited him to the youth meeting and I did not know the subject or the speaker. For a new one to come to the church, we need to bring him the easiest and the simplest the sermon. Do not get discouraged if people refuse your invitation. Their refusal could be an opportunity for a spiritual conversation. Their no today may become a yes tomorrow. So for invitational styles, they shouldn't lose hope. They should be consistent in inviting everyone. The last style, the serving style. And this is the typical Catholic way of evangelism. Because, you know, the Catholic Church is busy making schools, making hospitals, because they believe so much in this style. But it's not the only style of evangelism. Again, there is the direct style of lecturing, the interpersonal style, the intellectual style, the invitational style, the testimonial style, and the last one, not the last meaning that less important, no, it's very important, this is the serving style. It was written in chapter 9, in the book of Acts, the story about Tabitha. Tabitha was a woman, maybe an old woman servant in the church, who tend to care for the poor women. And she, you know, was making them kind of fasatin for the poor women. And people loved her and loved her Christ because of her service. This attitude is very successful with the poor people. Generally, the poor people are very much touched by the serving attitude. When you serve them, you like to follow you and follow your God. So the serving style is very much successful in bringing many people to salvation. As was written in Matthew, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be cautious. Remember that although words are no substitute for actions, actions are no substitute for words. Either in Romans, Paul say that we must verbally tell people about Christ. You can do this in many ways as you point to him as the central motivation for your act of service. Simply, we had a nice doctor, he is like 80-something, and when he examined any African guy, child or adult, he always saying, by the way, I want to tell you one important thing, Christ sent me to you. For all patients, he kept saying the same sentence. And he knew this sentence in Ghani language and other language just to tell them this. Christ sent me. Because such a nice old man helping them, giving them freely everything, that was a great mission and great attitude. Also, do not underestimate the value of your service. It's your style that will reach the hardest to reach people. Acts of loving service are hard to resist and difficult to argue with. You all know Mother Teresa. She could change millions of people with no single word. With her school of serving the poor, she could affect the salvation of millions of people just by this serving attitude. Again, I'm not saying that there is no value of speaking the word. No, we need to have the invitational character, the interpersonal one, the intellectual servant, the direct style. We need all, even the testimonial ones, but also the serving attitude, serving servant. Be discerning as to how much you can do realistically without depriving yourself or your family of needed care and attention. So you have to discern what you do, what you shouldn't do. This is now the brief. We have six styles of evangelism at least. Direct style, intellectual, testimonial, interpersonal, invitational, and serving style. By the way, all of you have more than one trait, one style. But you will be like major in one thing. You will be major lecturing, major in the direct and less testimonial, maybe less invitational. Some of you may be very high in invitational attitude, but is very low in the direct, you know, lecturing attitude. Okay, there is no problem, because these six are very much needed by the church. Thank you. Glory to God forever.